Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America here with the medical report. And today I'm bringing you an investigative journalist and also another media personality, James Grundvig, who is going to talk with me about what is going on behind the scenes with the corruption at the CDC. Now, I've seen a lot of this off and on over my 40-year career in medicine, but there's a bigger story here that connects the dots between the same people who failed at science with Agent Orange and the dioxin toxicity and participated in the cover-up of the autism link in traditional vaccines and have had a hand in the cover-up of the damages and deaths with the COVID shots. This is CDC corruption in orders of magnitude worse than what I had already been aware of as a physician. And our investigative journalist and truth teller on the Truth Warrior team, James Grundvig, has quite an interesting perspective. And he pointed out, as we were preparing to record this show today, that it was exactly 40 years ago in 2023, 40 years earlier, 1983, was when the Agent Orange study was launched by the U.S. federal government and funds granted to the CDC to begin that study. It was 40 years ago in 2023, 40 years earlier, when I started on the faculty in family medicine and internal medicine following my residency training. So for the entire 40 years I've been in medicine, I've been watching some of these toxicities unfold and wondering why we didn't have more reliable information from our federal agencies funded by the taxpayers to protect the public. So this is quite a story today. Why are the same people who failed at science in the Agent Orange dioxin toxicity now in charge or have been in charge for the decades past of vaccine safety and developmental disorders at the CDC and had a hand in what's going on at the CDC in the cover-up of the damage from the COVID shots? So here to tell us that story and the author of a book on that story, which he'll tell us about, is James Grundvig. James, thank you for joining us on the Whistleblower Report today.
Thank you, Dr. Lee. I'm glad to be here. Let me start with this real broad background. I was in construction management for 30 years. And why does this apply to my life as a father of a vaccine-injured kid and as an author and a journalist and so on and so forth? Well, I was on the paper side of construction management on projects of scale, $1 billion terminal at JFK Airport, you know, a couple $100 million high rise in downtown Manhattan, a new vertical campus in Midtown Manhattan. things of that nature. And there's a lot of, I was involved in change management, which required me to learn how to read specifications, go into meetings, discuss changes to project, negotiate, interview people, so on and so forth, and eventually write up claims and write up technical reports and things of that nature, and then edit them. So that same process actually applied to me when I began as a writer in 2005 for the Epoch Times. Now, how did I get to the Epoch Times during my construction career? Well, that was interesting. In 2000, my son, my only child, Frederick, was born in March, of course, 23 years ago. And he got the full complement of childhood vaccines, meaning he got the thimerosal that was eventually taken out in 2003. He got that full complement. He got the full complement of aluminum. And eventually what we started to notice as parents, the kid who met every milestone through the first 18 months or 20 months of his life, at 2.5 years, it began to tail off. And by 3, he had regressed into autism to where he was diagnosed in 2003 as a regressive form of autism, you know, NOS, right? Not otherwise specified. And then I asked the question, how does a kid had no birth defects, no mental issues, no, he loved drawing every day. He loved words. He's interested in things. He's outgoing, smiling, happy, full of energy. How does that, you go from that to being lying down for 20 minutes at a time, knowing something's wrong with his body. His eyes are wide open, frozen in the ground, and he doesn't move his body. He's sucking his thumb. And this would begin happening. And his mother's was a nurse for 37 years at a big hospital up in New York City. So she and I began to wonder what the heck's going on with our son, right? And eventually we would learn about the vaccine issue. And I would reach out to an autism group that had just started, one of the first in the early 2000s. And in fact, there was a mother named Kim Mack Rosenberg, who's a lawyer, who's also mother of her son, Henry, who was vaccine injured like Frederick, but was maybe a few months older. And we met and went over to her house. They were in the same Upper East Side neighborhood of Manhattan. We got to learn about it. And then I realized it was an opportunity to file with vaccine court. So I did. So I was actually, because vaccine court in the United States is a 3-year window. It makes it completely impossible. People don't know about it. Pediatricians certainly don't know about it. And so you have to do this research, you know, and I got him into vaccine court, but eventually in 2011, that would be kicked out. All my sons and all other 5,400 cases were kicked out of vaccine court during the autism omnibus proceedings. Now, why did the government do that? Because they knew millions of more vaccinated autistic kids were coming on the horizon. They knew this. They knew this because they created the autism epidemic out of thin air. You know, autism used to be 1 in 10,000 back in the 1960s and 70s. And as the vaccines crept up, it would eventually go 1 in 2,000. And then by the time 2000 came around, it was 1 in 1,000 and eventually 1 in 88 by 2014. Today, it's like something like 1 in 35 or 1 in 20. It depends on where in the country and what subgroup of Somali kids are like. Boys in particular, 1 in 20, which is insane. That is an incredible number. And those numbers are continuing to rise. And those are from all the vaccines that are pre-COVID bioweapon shots. So Lee, it was a fascinating journey, but I will give a shout out to Bobby Kennedy Jr. for writing his Rolling Stone magazine article in 2005 on mercury, because that actually got me going into really doing some of the heavy research.
You know, he has done an amazing job with Children's Health Defense for decades against the onslaught of lies and deception and demonization of his work. RFK Jr. has really been a powerhouse in this field. I don't know him personally, but I just so admire all that he's done. And actually, I've seen this in my medical career, because autism was almost unheard of at the time that I started medical school in 75, graduated in an accelerated curriculum in 3 years, and then did my specialty training and completed that at the end of 1982. And during part of my specialty training, there was actually a rotation in child psychiatry, and autism was considered extremely rare at that time.
It absolutely
And it's also interesting parallel medically that it was in 1986 that the pharmaceutical companies essentially engaged in extortion against President Reagan and said, if you veto this indemnity bill, then we'll stop making all vaccines. And Reagan, unfortunately, was backed into a corner to sign the immunity, full immunity for the vaccine manufacturers in 1986.
Yeah, they got immunity, but not the kids. Think about that, right? The vaccine makers, Dr. Lee, got the immunity, but not the children.
Exactly right. That is the tragedy. But the point I was making was that 83, look at when things were happening to increase the childhood vaccines, and some of the same players at the CDC in charge of that program, as well as the Agent Orange program you're going to talk about, that study. And then look at the immunity that was granted in 1986 and when the damage to children started skyrocketing.
Yeah,
it was after that.
Yeah.
It was. And they just kept adding more and more vaccines to the childhood immunization schedule, because as soon as any vaccine is put on the childhood immunization schedule, all of the manufacturers have full immunity from any damages.
Dad, it was stunning, to be honest with you. Yeah, I would learn all about that. I would learn about Andy Wakefield after Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I would learn about, you know, living in New York City, I met a lot of parents who had vaccinated kids, and a lot of them were writing articles and doing things, or part of, you know, early Autism One conferences and carrying the coal mine things and all sorts of stuff. And it was interesting. Eventually I became friends with Tony Lyons. And Tony Lyons is the founder, president, and CEO. He's the publisher of Robert F. Kennedy's books, most autism books, because he himself has a vaccine injured daughter. That's my son's age. So Tony and I became friends, and eventually, yeah, after the Bill Thompson whistleblower tapes came out in 2014, that eventually became the foundation for the movie Vaxxed. Tony says, well, you know, there's Paul Thorsen. Paul Thorsen is the Danish scientist, the foreign scientist who was working at the CDC in 2000 in Atlanta. Paul Thorsen was the domestic fraud of the vaccine studies that were meant to erase any connection between vaccines and autism, and they use a Danish health registry. So Tony Lyons is, James, you know, I'm the first generation Norwegian. I go, yeah, Tony, I know a lot about Denmark, I know about the culture. Yeah, I'm definitely the guy to write the book. And so the book was called Mass Manipulator. Now, Paul Thorsen isn't the only manipulator. He wasn't even a traditional employee at the CDC. He was just a foreign visiting scientists, but the CDC ended up paying his university, or even his organization at Aarhus University in Denmark, to do these studies. And when signals came back, they basically, Colleen Boyle, and we'll get into Colleen Boyle in a minute, she's the Agent Orange principal investigator from the 1980s. How the heck is she still at the CDC in the early 2000s, beyond me? But it was interesting that she basically said, no, through emails, you've got to do something about the signal. You know, you got this data, you know, whatever. So they're like actually manipulating the parameters of a study during the actual studies. This is, you know, this is akin to what they've been doing to all the clinical trials we know now from Pfizer in particular are fraudulent. They didn't even do the right study for COVID, right? So we've seen this repeat pattern over and over again. They go through these multi-million dollar studies, they spend all kinds of money, and they eventually at the end manipulate the numbers in which they can then go sell a lie. This is how they've been operating. So we're paying.
They did the same thing with remdesivir. They changed the parameters, yes, during the study.
Yes, thank you. And Agent Orange was even more startling. Now, why is Agent Orange even more startling? Because Congress They had so much heat from all the Vietnam vets who are dying of 38 different kinds of acute cancers and other bizarre diseases that just not in everyday life in America. Only comes from one place, right? Being doused and sprayed with Operation Ranch Hand and everything else, and the handling of Agent Orange over Vietnam. And that's dioxin, right? Dioxin is the main ingredient. Now, what's interesting, though, is Congress gave the CDC, of all people, not a third party, they gave it to CDC so I guess they could control the end result, right? Well, this is how they control the end result of the Agent Orange studies. Congress gave the CDC $71 million, which in 1980s, 40 years ago, is a lot of money. A lot of money. They gave them 6 years, and you have a four-part study, and they 4 years deep into it, by 1987, they suddenly pull the plug on a study. Now, why would they pull the plug on a study? They left 2 years on a study, and they left $20 million on the table, meaning they consumed $51 million out of the $20 million. But what government agency in the world ever leaves, we're not going to spend the rest of this budget. It actually, and we're not going to fulfill our tasks. Now, why? Why did that happen? Well, when you dive deep into it, thank God for six U.S. senators in the 102nd Congress in 1990, they wrote up a 40-some page report, and they dissented against the rest of the Congress. They dissented against everybody, saying, this is Agent Orange cover-up, and they go into, they mentioned Colleen Boyle's name as principal investigator. They mentioned the vaccine safety guru, Frank DiStefano, who's been the vaccine safety guy at CDC for 25 years. I mean, it's just ridiculous that these people would be fired. They wouldn't even have a job in the industry they worked in had they worked in the real private sector, but that's not the case, right? They get reprimanded or pat on the back, and they're sent to a new position, new part of the CDC, and they continue to work for them. This is how they've been rolling. And so it's really incredible. But for Frank DiStefano's case, and I said this on my show, so I'll say it here. He is a vaccine injured adult. His son is vaccine injured. His son's probably 30 years old now, maybe a little bit older. But that's a fact. And so Frank, you know your son's vaccine injured, and yet you went along with a lie for how many years? 30 years. It's just mind-boggling that these scientists are so gaslit or controlled or leveraged, whatever the word is, that they throw their own children under the bus. It's just disgusting to me. It really is. But so how did the CDC get out of it? Well, the U.S. because what the CDC was claiming, we don't have any troop movements in the ground that matches up with the flight movements in the air to prove that Agent Orange was sprayed on their troops. Well, some colonel decided to do some deep investigating and actually found all the troop movements in the ground for the U.S. Army up in a warehouse in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and they were going to drive Colleen and Frank DiStefano up there, and suddenly, a week later, the entire study was pulled. Why? Because the evidence would have been so overwhelming that it would have been clear the government was completely culpable in all of the Vietnam vets' injuries for years. And Colleen Boyle even had the nerve to write in 2013 or 14 some follow-up study to Agent Orange pretending she doesn't know what's going on. It's just, again, it's mind-boggling. It really is.
I simply don't see how these people can go to sleep at night, how they can live with themselves with such massive lies causing such horrific health problems and death. I mean, the Vietnam vets, I actually saw many in my practice in the years that I was in practice in the Greater Hampton Roads, Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, Portsmouth, have had a very high military presence, and they weren't always getting answers in military medicine. And so many of them sought private care in the civilian medical community. And we didn't know a lot about dioxin at that time. We didn't know a lot about the damage and how to treat it. We were really doing the best we could with the information we had. And now I understand why we didn't have a lot of the information, because of the massive cover-up. But it's just staggering, the suffering that has been unleashed on humanity in all of these things you just mentioned, the Agent Orange dioxin cover-up, the vaccine autism brain damage cover up, the COVID shot deaths. I mean, normalizing sudden death? Are you kidding? What in the world are people thinking of that they can somehow say, oh, it's normal for children to have strokes. It's normal for children to have heart attacks and myocarditis. It's normal for people, healthy young adults, to drop dead or die in their sleep with no medical history. It's truly staggering.
It is. And it's grotesque, I think, is a word I would add to it. You know,
yes.
When you're put on earth to live your life and learn and everything else and be spiritually grounded and then create the next generation. And when the next generation, innocent children, babies, in fact, are damaged and knowingly damaged, you know, there has to be a way to correct this. And it's not just my son's not the only victim. So when I published through Tony Lyons, the Skyhorse, when I published the book, Mass Manipulator, you know, the betrayal of CDC and government embezzlement and so on and so forth, whatever the subtitle is. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wrote the foreword to the book, by the way. I dedicated the book to my son and his million brothers and sisters, but I'm going to say there's probably 2 million brothers and sisters of my son. There's probably 2 million kids that are on the spectrum today. And that doesn't include all the autoimmune diseases, right? And all of the ADHD and ADD. And so there is at least 10 million children, if not more, 20 million, that are completely vaccine injured. And Bobby Kennedy thinks the number could be as high as 54% because he has six sons and these three of them are peanut allergic. One has some other issues. So they're vaccine injured. So this has been a long journey for all of us.
Well, it really has. And in some respects, as a physician who focused on adult medicine and was not treating children, I didn't realize the enormity of the vaccine complications that were skyrocketing in children because I didn't have a pediatric practice. But what I can understand now, looking back on it and looking back at the 3 years of COVID and then the massive push for vaccinated children with these experimental COVID shots that aren't even the traditional methodology, they are a totally new platform, not tested in children. What are pediatricians thinking of when they are pushing this new technology on children who still have developing brains and developing endocrine organs and developing immune systems? I mean,
and lungs. You know, it was funny when I took my son Frederick at 9 months old, we had a swimming pool in one of the apartments we lived in. I wanted to take my son swimming. And so his doctor, Peter, said, yeah, no problem, but don't dunk. Was it why shouldn't I dunk my son? I wasn't going to do it anyways, of course, not at 9 months old. But he says that the child's lungs develop from birth. It takes 3 years to fully develop. So dunking a child underwater, I'm not talking about baptism. I'm talking about in the pool of chlorine and things of that nature in the ocean, very bad for them. So how does a pediatrician give me advice on one hand like that, and then like, oh, it's okay to inject them with whatever in these shots. It's just incredible. It really is.
And they are still recommending the COVID shots for children.
I know.
I mean, I run into it with patients, adult patients of mine who have sons and daughters with young children, and they're still pushing it. You still see it advertised on TV.
Yep.
Tell us as we come up on the break for the first half, tell us where people can find more of your work, your book, and your own media outreach efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Lee. You can go to my name, James, last name Grundvig, nice Norwegian name. It's G-R-U-N-D, Grundvig, V-I-G. So jamesgrundvig.com. You find some of my writings in my three books. They're all on Amazon. You know, with the last name Grundvig, I can't hide digitally, so I'll say that much. I work at a, you know, it's 180-year-old name. It's a made-up name. So if you think of Smith and Jones in the United States being popular names, well, Hansen and Olsen in Norway were very, very popular names. And both my mother's family and my father's family changed from Olson Hansen to their new names. Like, you know, they're like 150 years old now. It's a pretty funny story.
That is funny. And Vliet, my husband's family name, is actually Dutch, going back, you know, hundreds of years. But I'm told that Van Vliet were the Dutch who came to the shores of America. And then during the Revolutionary War, the Vliets supported liberty and the Van Vliets supported the Tories. And so the Vliets dropped the Van.
Interesting.
That also is an old name and difficult to spell, which is why I go by Dr. Lee for America.
That is too funny. The other place people can find me is I work for American Media Periscope. So you go to AmericanMediaPeriscope.com or go to AMPNews.us to find us. And I'm the editor-in-chief at the AMP Journal there. And I'm also have the number one show on the network of about 12 superstars. So I'm just very humble dad is all I'm going to say I am. Nothing more than that. It's not about my ego. It's only about getting the truth out. On a show called Unrestricted Truths, which I had the pleasure, Dr. Lee, of interviewing a couple of times. I'm really glad to have these opportunities because every time I bring on a specialist like yourself, I personally learn a lot and I can share that information beyond the shows themselves.
Well, and that is so critical because we're up against so much censorship. I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. And my own ancestors from the Welsh side of the family, Welsh and English and Scottish side of the family, my ancestors came in 1608 escaping religious persecution in the UK. And so I really feel strongly that this is literally in the DNA that has survived down through the years to fight for the liberty, the God-given gifts of life and liberty that were the founding principles of this country. I'm only alive today, James, because my ancestor who arrived at Jamestown Island in 1608 was one of only 50 people who survived the starving times in Jamestown, which was the first socialist experiment on the shores of the New World. And that was 1609 to 1611. Had he not survived, I wouldn't be alive. So I do think it's in my DNA, and we fight for liberty every single day. This is Dr. Lee for America. We'll be back with the second half of the Whistleblower Report right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio, 12 noon and 12 midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Check out our website, truthforhealth.org. We are a 501c3 public charity human rights organization defending your life and your freedoms that are secured by law under the U.S. Constitution. Check out all the resources at truthforhealth.org. We will be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, U.S. Army and legal grant recipient of the Truth for Health Foundation. I want to give a huge shout out to the Truth for Health Foundation for helping me and my family over the past year with our legal battles. Recently, I was court-martialed for not participating with these experimental COVID-19 emergency use authorized products. If it wasn't for Truth for Health Foundation and all the support, I would definitely be in a worse spot. But because of all the support, I'm able to continue uniform service, fighting for what's right to protect the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with an amazing American patriot, James Grundvig, who is the editor-in-chief of the Journal and the host of Unrestricted Truths on American Media Periscope. That is also a 501c3 public charity focused on getting the truth out to the people, just as Truth for Health Foundation has been doing in the war on our lives, our freedom, and our ability to get medical truth as well as God's truth. So, James, welcome back to the second half of the show. I'd like to hear more about the Colleen Boyle story and how this person who managed to participate in the cover-up of the dioxin Agent Orange disaster and devastating health damage to our Vietnam veterans, how that person manages to be in charge of vaccine safety at the CDC and also play a role in the COVID shots. And where is she now?
So I think the word is compliance or playing ball or following orders for why Colleen Boyle was able to work the CDC after Agent Orange fiasco. And even after the U.S. Senate basically shredded her career in 1990. This is, you know, 1990 is before the World Wide Web and the Internet and things. So she was, I guess, kind of lucky because she never got her name dragged through the mud and by any alternate media or any, you know, media back then. She just basically was able to kind of vanish behind the scenes. So I think they get rewarded for pulling off such criminal behavior. And let me back this up with what President Trump did, he was a genius in 2020. He created the White House Task Force. He didn't put one criminal and Anthony Fauci on the stage. He put two other criminals along with Anthony Fauci on the stage. He introduced us to three criminals, Deborah Birx, right? Dr. Robert Redfield, then the CDC director, and Anthony Fauci. Trump put these criminals next to him on the stage so American people get to know who they are over time. It was a genius move. Now, you'd have to go back and read a 1993 Hartford Courant, of all newspapers, detailed article, maybe 1,500 words, that exposed Deborah Birx and Robert Redfield actually doing what? They forged data. They manipulated data in order to get the third phase of clinical trial for an HIV/AIDS vaccine back in 1992. And if it wasn't for two heroic U.S. Air Force colonels that came forward, they would have been allowed to do it. But when these whistleblowers came out, the government had no choice but to basically pull the plug on the entire program. But yet again, somehow Birx went on to work with a little reprimand, you know, wrist slap, and so did Redfield. And they both got promoted. Eventually, Birx would work with Bill Gates, of all people, right? We know his role, multiple roles, in a COVID vaccine virus psyop. And then of course, Redfield would become the CDC director under Trump. But Trump was a genius for both appointing him as CDC director and putting him on the White House task force. America's got to know all of these players.
Now, why do you say that was a genius? Are you saying that President Trump knew their past behavior?
Yeah, let me take a step further. I'm going to say this and hope I don't offend anyone in your show, but Mike Pence, I know from a human trafficking survivor, is a pedophile and a murderer. And I'll say that. Now, there've been two or three other people out there saying exactly the same thing, right? And I had this human trafficking survivor on my show five times and never heard a word boo from Mike Pence. So why do you think President Trump put the Christian projector of Mike Pence as vice president next to him? Because he brings his enemies in closer. This is a standard tactic of Trump. He's not afraid to negotiate with anybody, including the devil. And it's very interesting. So he brought in people that I know he knew were bad news. He brought them in so the American people could actually get to learn who these people are and what their crimes are. And this is actually coming out now because Fauci right now in the past couple of weeks is in deep trouble.
It's about time. I've watched him for my career. I was there when AIDS broke out, HIV AIDS.
Yeah. And he blocked the AIDS cocktail, right? That killed a few hundred thousand more. He delayed
But he was blocking the use of Bactrim to treat pneumocystis pneumonia, which was what was really killing people. It was a pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia, that was killing the immune-compromised HIV patients. And Fauci blocked the use of that like he did hydroxychloroquine in COVID.
Yeah, incredible, right?
It's just made me apoplectic. That's why I came out swinging in March of 2020 on why doctors were being prevented from using hydroxychloroquine. And later we learned about ivermectin, but the early blockage was coming from the FDA, the CDC, Fauci, and all of the same cabal were blocking. They declared a war on hydroxychloroquine like Fauci had done against Bactrim in the AIDS era, and what had been done by the NIH against estrogen in 2002.
Yeah, so the reason why I brought up the White House task force and Burks, Redfield, and Fauci is to show you that this has been going on for a long time.
Yes.
Right. And so Colleen Boyle is just another person that she's so leveraged, maybe blackmailed, maybe bribed, maybe combination of all of the above, that they had no choice but to promote her because they know she'd always be a good lieutenant for them. Right. And so eventually she was promoted to be the second director. So in 2008, President Bill Clinton created the NCB Triple D. So what's the NCB Triple D? National Childhood Birth Defects and Developmental and Disabilities Agency. It's a unit within the CDC. And she became director of that eventually. And she retired, though, in January of 2020. Now, I don't know if that retirement was she had foreknowledge of the COVID PSYOP and vaccine coming, the pandemic coming or not, but she retired in the middle of January 2020, and that was the end of it for her, right? And so she's out, and she's written some articles here and there, but she's not a big public speaker or anything else like that. She's been caught in Congress during some of these autism investigations, vaccines investigations in the 2005, 6, and 7, caught where she couldn't answer the question, and she would plead the fifth because she knew if she answered the question, she'd be perjuring herself. So it's been interesting to see her career. Frank, the stuff on, I still believe he's probably at the CDC, but again, he's probably at an age now where he's going to retire soon, because I think eventually Colleen and Frank will actually are seeing what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the end of Big Pharma. When the people wake up and they start seeing that the COVID shots are part of a much bigger plan, which is the autism thing, when they see the vaccines injure across the board, it is incredible. Now, I got a text through a friend from Dr. Carrie Madej that she came back from Israel last week, and she learned from a pediatrician, I won't mention his name, but from a pediatrician that he believes that the COVID symptoms are now showing up in teenage boys who are getting the DTP shot. So they're not injected with the COVID bioweapon, and yet they're coming up with COVID symptoms after the DTP shot. We know the mRNA platform's going to the flu shot. Now, can you imagine the DTP shot being replaced with the mRNA technology? Here we go again. Now, we start to see the plan. If this is true, we're starting to see the scope of the plan widening. They can't get away with this much longer.
Well, I pray you are right, but it still seems that everywhere we turn, they just seem to have more control and more ability to direct the pediatricians in moving these vaccines forward.
Yeah. Yes, but I think it's coming to a point where more people are waking up every day. I talk about the people who got jabbed, who got snowed by this, duped by this, deceived by this entire PSYOP the last few years. When they start waking up en masse, and it's going to take one event. I can't tell you what it is. I don't know what it is. But when the event happens, I think you're going to see the masses worldwide wake up in 24-hour period. It's going to be like poison ivy spreading across your body or wildfire. It's going to spread so fast, there's no way to stop it. And once that happens, they're going to start looking for people. So I'll give you an example. Putin is someone in Russia strangled the inventor of the Sputnik COVID vaccine in his apartment last week.
So I read that.
So you, if you get murdered by strangulation in your own apartment, it's a very personal thing.
Now, yes. What do you make of that as
well,
it relates
well,
to all
a,
of this?
It's a follow-up. It comes that Putin now is going to destroy all of the COVID shots. So what is that?
I saw that today too.
So what's that telling you? You put those two stories together. That's saying the tide has shifted. We're looking at Mexico shutting down the COVID shots. The report I got this morning, and I haven't verified it yet. We know Costa Rica is already there. We know Thailand's already there. We know that the Switzerland now. AG's opened an investigation against the Prime Minister of Switzerland and the Health Minister of Switzerland. So things are changing. So is it America last kind of thing? I don't know. But eventually, the mainstream media and big tech can't block all this information. Twitter's been great the last few months without all of the censorship. They still got some censorship, but it's nowhere near as it used to be. And you're pretty much allowed to talk about vaccines and dangers and things of that nature. So the tide has shifted. Now it's just a matter of an event. I don't know. Is it waking one day, there's no money in your bank, right? Is it that? Is it a nuclear showdown? With Russia, is that possible, right? Is it the next shamdemic or plandemic, Marburg virus, whatever they come out with?
Well, we think that's coming because they've already been telegraphing that. And yes. they've already invoked the Marburg provisions of the CARES Act. Yep. They've already spent the Marburg money on quarantine detention facilities in quite a number of American states. And the other thing, James, that we were putting together programs a year ago showing the Venn diagrams that are created medically with the overlap of symptoms between 5G electromagnetic radiation frequencies and the symptoms that causes with the symptoms of hemorrhagic fevers, COVID vaccine injury, COVID shots, and of course, the monkeypox. Well, we managed to mock them so successfully with the monkeypox that they shut up about that.
Yep.
But Marburg is a different
different animal.
It's harder to mock them with that when they can roll out B-roll of people bleeding from every orifice and terrifying the public. But I do think you're right. I think the public is waking up to the fact that they've been lied to and manipulated. And I have had last week in my medical practice, I had different patients every day telling me how many people they know in their personal circle who've either died or have been seriously injured with strokes and heart attacks following the COVID shot. One man said, I know 7 people in my immediate circle. And so I think that is helping people wake up, although doctors are still lying to patients and saying, oh, there's no connection with the shot.
Yeah, but see, that's eventually, people will eventually see 2 and 2. And what I'm trying to say is they're going to realize there'll be too many funerals to go to, too many people they know that are passing away at ridiculously young ages, all of them dying of myocarditis, heart inflammations or whatever. It's like I said, it has to be some kind of spark, an event or something. But when it happens, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. There's no ever going back. We're not going back to 2009. We're not going back to being gaslit anymore or put in the matrix anymore, right? The programming, the narratives begin to fall apart. And when that happens, it's pretty much game over.
Well, do you think that's why the Biden administration and the shadow government pulling the puppet strings are ramping up their attacks on other fronts? Look at the food processing plants. Yep. Look at the train derailment, the deliberate detonation of 5 rail cars with toxic chemicals that create, I mean, it's incontrovertible from the EPA documents that when you burn halogenated aromatic hydrocarbons, dioxin is a combustion byproduct, dioxins and furans. So the fact that they're not even testing for dioxin in these Palestine and Pennsylvania environments that were so hard hit tells me that they are pretty sure it's there. And then we learn that from one of our whistleblowers, as well as others have reported on the fact that the EPA Superfund Community Involvement Agent for District 5 has been deployed to East Palestine, Ohio. So they're moving towards land confiscation. And what comes with that? I just did a legal interview with for the Whistleblower Report, outlining the legal framework for using CERCLA and the Superfund legislation and the Toxic Substances Acts to move people forcibly off of their land to confiscate it.
Yeah, well, not only that, but now look at, just magically out of nowhere, just coincidentally, out of all the cities in the United States, towns and everything, Cleveland, Ohio is going to be the first 15-minute city. So now
I heard that too.
So you throw in Clark County, which had the derailment on over the weekend, right? The new derailment with tank, propane tanks and things like that, or chemical tanks. You have that. That's west of Columbus, Ohio. You have East Palestine, east of Columbus, Ohio. And you have both of them within 100-mile proximity of Cleveland. If there's going to be residents in these towns and cities that become refugees, I see them personally being pushed into the Agenda 30 smart cities of Cleveland. That's just my personal belief. I've been in construction 30 years. I know the logistics of things. They're not moving them out of state. They're going to literally try to move them into cities, and we'll see how this all plays out. But they first have to declare, get them off the land, and then see that fallout. But that fall is going to be interesting if it happens.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And I think the Agenda 2021 that has morphed into Agenda 2030 is exactly what they're planning. And the 15-minute cities are not 15-minute cities. They are 15-minute prisons where, yes, people will not be allowed to move freely, not be allowed to purchase. Once the digital currency goes into effect, then you have programmable money that can be deprogrammed as well as it can be programmed.
Yep.
And you're not allowed to buy anything that the government doesn't want you to buy. Why is Cleveland stepping up to be the first 15-minute city in the United States? And then we had all of this happen in the agricultural and rural areas of Ohio.
I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to have to go look into the 15-minute city. Now, 15-minute cities started as a C40 city thing with Michael Bloomberg and 40 cities around the world that were going to be part of this new, wonderfully utopian smart city program, right? Where everything would be super convenient for you, this and that. And now, as we got deep into COVID, we're realizing it's not utopia. It is a geofencing, digital geofencing, total enslavement system, social credit score system, communist China on steroids. We now know what, yep, it is. So I have not gone and had time to do the research, Lee, but I am actually going to go do that, because why Cleveland of all the cities? I have to go find the origins of this. And if I find something good on it, the actual, because it had to start before COVID. This has been planned out for years. What was the origin? What was the trigger for this? Why Cleveland?
And why Cleveland? There's something about that is very significant. And it's nagging at the back of my mind that there's a piece of the puzzle that we're missing.
I do know that Columbus, Ohio, south of Cleveland, near the new train derailment, I know that's been a human trafficking hub for a long time. So I have no idea if that is a part of the reason why, you know, it is a major network, unfortunately. No different than parts of Texas, no different than parts of California and Florida and stuff like
that.
Well,
and Arizona has been also in that horrific network as well. Yeah. I mean, these are pieces of the puzzle that I've been following from a different perspective for many years, because I started speaking out about the government control of healthcare years ago, but also especially active on that front during the Obama era. And the more that I dug into what they were doing in controlling healthcare with the digital electronic medical records and tracking, mm-hmm, gun ownership and tracking vaccinations and all of these other things. And then the health information technology requirement for EMRs tied into the Independent Payment Advisory Board for rationing was leading me down many rabbit holes on this larger agenda. So you and I've been working from different realms on a lot of this over some of the same time period, and connecting the dots is critically important to help people see how all of these strange things that are happening are really very brilliantly, diabolically Machiavellian organization,
yes,
to destroy our lives and our freedom. But also it's part of the overall three-pronged agenda of elimination of private property, elimination, mm-hmm, of borders, and reducing the world's population by 95%.
Yeah, absolutely. It is all a part of that. And it's been being carried out, and it's quite amazing to see. And they want to, you know, the Satanists, I'm going to just call them what they are, because if people think it's communism, they're not quite. They think it's just the military, no, not quite. And if they think it's just the Fourth Reich from Germany, no, not quite. I call them Satanists because at the end of the day, the leaders of these different movements, these different dark movements, they actually worship Satan. That's what I absolutely believe. So we're fighting a spiritual war. It is why they're going after the children so hard in so many different ways. It's not just the vaccines. It's not just the EUA. It is the wokeism. It is a transgenderism. It is all of these things. And when you realize this is completely insane, well, you're seeing the darkness. You're seeing who they really are. And when parents begin, if the parents be able to connect all the things I just mentioned, plus the COVID bioweapon, that are both killing children, killing young teens, sterilizing them, when they put this all together, they're gonna hit the roof, right? And then if they come together as a force, they're gonna be a force to be reckoned with. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, but like, the greatest fear the deep state, the global deep state has, is the waking up of the masses, of the billions of people. That is and this is why they're not fighting the Ukraine war to defeat Russia. They're fighting Russia to keep their dark truths about Ukraine under the rug, right? They're trying to prevent all of the child sex trafficking, all of the money laundering operations, all of the wars that were basically not run out of Pentagon, but run out of Ukraine. They're trying to prevent all of this criminality, all of this money laundering that got Western corrupt politicians rich. All this lies in Ukraine. And so Ukraine's is the global hub of the cabal. When that gets exposed, there's nothing left to hide. And apparently Putin's got everything he needs. He's already got all the evidence. You know, they're surrounding the city of Bakhmut now and a couple others. Eventually he's going after Kiev, because Kiev is the headquarters of the dark secrets. They're going to expose all of it. And if you think of Chernobyl, why was Chernobyl important for the deep state? Because they're able to claim all the land is toxic, is all radioactive. No one come here at all. And they're able to keep eyes of the world away.
You're right. And, you know, it's ironic in the fact that Putin, who has been so demonized by the very cabal you're talking about, is himself, I'm told, Orthodox Christian. Mm-hmm. And he has turned out to be a strong leader, shining light,
yes,
into this dark evil. It's really tragic the way that he has been demonized. And look, I certainly had concerns about Putin for many years, and he comes out of the KGB, so he knows the dark side.
Yep.
But I do have a sense that he has found his faith, and he is standing against the evil in ways that President Trump also tried to do. And that stolen election has had massive consequences for all of us, because we are on the verge of being cast into the abyss of evil unless people wake up. So thank you for helping to wake people up. Thank you for all of your many, many years of investigative journalism, standing for truth. And I look forward to collaborating with you much more closely in the work that we're doing that so complement each other in trying to bring truth to the public and defend God's word as the founding principles of this country. So thank you, James.
Thank you, Dr. Lee. Pleasure to be on your radio show today. Thank you very much.
And for all our listeners, check out James' website and his books on Amazon under the name James Grundvig, Grundvig, and his website is James Grundvig.